Thank you, Sean. Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here this morning. I wasn't expecting to come and preach, but, you know, accidents do happen. So some are good, I guess. So, your pastor had asked me, I was inquiring about Scott Galecki, and then I was talking to him, and he said, "Won't you come and preach next Sunday?" So, sure, I said. So, it just worked out well to be this way. There are a lot of changes that are going with the Indian government, so I asked the team for a while to just, you know, to kind of play a low profile. Because the Indian government is noting everybody that's coming. In fact, they have stopped all the support that's going to Compassion International. So think about the thousands of kids that are suffering without having proper support, and the American government is dealing. So sometimes it's good to be low so that nobody is at risk, and you guys can have the continued ministry after some time. So we would like much of your prayers for the India and for the ministries in India. A lot of children's homes have been affected, actually. So some of them have stopped because of the government interference. So I would much appreciate your prayers at this time. Well, this is a Christmas season, but I don't have a Christmas message. I actually realized this morning after I prepared a message, man, this is a Christmas season. I should preach. On the 1st of December, we have every 1st of the month, we have a service in our church in the morning at 5:30. And I did preach a Christmas message. And I thought, well, I could have developed and preached, but it was too late. But God's word is the same. I would like to read a passage from 2 Kings chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, please open. It's a beautiful story by a person called Naaman, or Naaman, as some would call it. And I would like to read that story. Let's get familiar with that story about Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my Lord were with the prophet who was in Samaria. He would cure of him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends words to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he's seeking a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, My father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? As he actually said to you, wash and be clean. So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And this is the word of God this morning. I would like to preach to you this morning about Naaman. Just the background, Naaman was a leper living in a foreign land. It was a land of their enemies. The theme of the message this morning is God is the healer of inside out. God is the healer of inside out. As we read the story, we understand that Naaman was a leper. He had leprosy that everybody could see outside. But there is another thing that is inside of him. And God had actually cured both of them in the life of Naaman. That's what we're going to see here. God deals with Naaman, the successful and an army chief here. God deals with him with almost no cure for both of those diseases. Leprosy, on the one hand, that is visible, and the second one is pride that is in his heart, which is invisible. But as you read the story, you understand both of them going together. And both of them had no cure. There is no medicine for leprosy. Of course, there is no medicine for pride except by the grace of God. And both had to be healed by the grace of God. Pride is dangerous because it allows man to think more than oneself to the point of forgetting who she or he is to a higher level of equalizing to God. They forget themselves, who they truly are, and think that they are more than human beings. These are not only politicians I'm talking about, or celebrities I'm talking about, or kings or people on the high reputations, but I'm talking about the normal people who also deal with the same kind of disease that is invisible. Not only ordinary people, even the churchgoers like you and me think we have no issue with that, but we do have. Sadly, it's not true if we think we don't have any issue. Let's go to the background. The story takes place just after the nation of Israel had suffered a defeat in the hands of Aram. The king of Israel got killed, and this man, Naaman, was the chief in commander. He was the one that killed Ahab, the king of Israel, and he died. And Ahab, the king of Israel, had been killed by this man, Naaman, who scored a direct shot at Ahab's heart. The success quickly brought Naaman to fame, and he became the chief of the Armenian army. However, his victory soon overshadowed by an acute personal problem. Naaman was afflicted with leprosy, the very same defiling. He was not a leper to born with, but it is after he had become successful in killing the enemy of Israel, the king of Israel, Ahab, he got leprosy according to the history that was available, according to the sources that was available. The Jewish sages explain that the root cause of leprosy is arrogance. We don't know, but that's what the Jewish saints believed that. So they link with this and say, Naaman got leprosy because of his arrogance. Ahab, the king of Israel, had been killed by this man, Naaman. And as a result, he became so prideful of this. Haughtiness often manifests itself in gossip, frequently cited as the sin that led to leprosy. However, the core, the spiritual malady is pride. In Naaman's case, his success in killing the king of Israel led him to arrogance. He considered himself as the greatest warrior in the world. But according to the Bible, it was written there, according to the text we read, but it was God who directed Naaman's arrow into Ahab's heart. You know, God was using this man even before realizing the God of Israel, Yahweh, when he was shooting the arrow against Ahab, the king of Israel. It was God who directed this man, according to the story and also the previous chapter. But he considered himself as the greatest warrior. But it was God who was behind it. This is a story of how God cured Naaman, both of his pride and also of his skin disease. Now the question is, why was God interested in Naaman, a non-Israelite, a man who killed the king of Israel, the chosen nation? And why does he want to deal with the pride and the disease, leprosy of Naaman, who was a non-Israelite, non-covenanted person? I think this brings us to our Christmas story too. Well, there are five things I want to talk to you this morning. Actually, four things, and the fifth one is about us. The four things about the Naaman's life. Number one, the cause of the leprosy. Number two, the suggestion. While he was suffering with leprosy, somebody suggested him, this is what you got to do, the suggestion. And number three is the action. What was the action taken by Naaman regarding his disease? And lastly, the fourth one, cure. How did the cure took place? Let me repeat again. The cause of leprosy, the suggestion, the action, the cure. Four things. And lastly, there is a fifth one, the Naaman in us. Let's look at these four things. Number one, the cause of leprosy. The cause of Naaman's leprosy. His leprosy did not come from his childhood, but it came later stage. As I explained to you earlier, according to the Jewish sages, believe that the leprosy came after Naaman killing the king of Israel, Ahab. This brought pride to Naaman. According to verse 1, it is written, by him the Lord had given him victory. See that how beautifully it is written? It is by the Lord he had gotten the victory. He was the one that killed Ahab, but it was through the Lord's grace and the Lord's provision. But this man took it on himself. The whole thing, he took it on himself. And he began to say, well, it was me. Why was God behind a non-Israelite? And not an Israelite. We will unfold it as we move forward. Now, I want you to be aware of it. When the Lord gives us something, either we naturally possess it, but still that is given by God, or a success on any event at any time, remember, it was from God, not ours, especially if you're a Christian and a child of God. If you claim it on yourself and say your wisdom are your own, then you're robbing God's glory. What rightly belongs to God, we are stealing it from God, just like this man, Naaman, did it. Verse 1. It was the Lord who directed him. But he forgot. He did not even realize it. And then you go to the second part of the verse 1. The writer of the story beautifully put it, and it said, Naaman was a great man, but a leper. How sad it is. Naaman was a great man, but a leper. No matter how great you and I are, We oftentimes boast about ourselves. I am this. I can do this. I am like this. I'm not like other person, although we don't verbalize it many times. No matter how great you are, but you, like Naaman, and I, like Naaman, stuck with some things, something bad, that we cannot move forward, that your future is blinded. In fact, this man's future is blinded. As soon as the war was over, he became the commander-in-chief for the entire army, but he was hit by the leprosy. What about his future? Can he fight it? No. Future is blinded. Because he robbed God's glory. I'm thinking it is because of his might. We boast a lot about ourselves, our achievements, and so many things. But deep down inside, like Naaman, we struggle. We struggle. We struggle alone. And you know that, and God knows it. May not be anybody. It is written, Naaman was a great man. You and I consider ourselves, we are great men and women. Put your name. I am a great man and great woman. But you fill in the blank for yourself. But what is it? What is it? What is the but that you're struggling with? You deal with that. As Paul said, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I struggle. My spirit says one thing. My body says one thing. I struggle. I struggle. You're great. You're great. But what about it? What are you taking? What steps are you taking to deal with that? Naaman was a great man. Commander-in-chief. Got victory. Killed Ahab. All that was excellent and good. But future was dim. Let's move on to the second one. The suggestion. The cause. We know the cause now, yes? We know the cause of our lives. Of our mess. It's not that. It's not because God was not gracious to us. There's something else. Number two, the suggestion. Well, wisdom to Naaman's problem came from a slave girl, an Israelite. She was a captive, by the way. When they went to the land of Israel, killed Ahab, they got a lot of people, they made them slaves. Somehow this little girl, she was found favor, of course, in God's provision, providence. We need to understand that. She was taken to Naaman's house. And she was well pleased by his wife. She was a captive, a servant by force. Much more should servants by choice seek their master's good. Servants may be a blessing to the families that they are. Our heart was not hardened either towards God or towards her master. But she was a strong witness for Christ. You know what? As you read the story, you understand? Even her name was not even mentioned. She was so insignificant. Her name was not mentioned in the story. She was a pretty young girl. A maid, a slave girl by force. Oh, she didn't have a great name like her master. Naaman was great, but slave girl, no name, no greatness, but was a witness for Christ. You and I may feel inadequate at times to witness for Christ. But may I suggest you let our adequacy come from God and not from our own circumstances that we are in, our shortcomings. What a lesson it is for each of us to learn from the slave girl. We worry what we do not have. And we look forward, how can I have this so that I can be a better person? I can be a better Christian so that I can be a better witness. please know how God began dealing with Naaman, the prideful man. Somehow when she said, there is a prophet in Shimron in my land. Surely, the suggestion, my prophet can heal my master. And her words were believed by Naaman's wife. And she carried it to Naaman. He believed it too. They took it seriously and they went to the king. I believe that there is a cure. Who told you? This little girl, insignificant girl. But I believe it. I believe it. And please know how God began to deal with Naaman, the prideful man here. The beginning of the source of his cure came from his own slave maid. Remember always, our help may come from source and often from people that are lesser than us and from whom we don't expect any help. As a suggestion, well taken. Sometimes God brings suggestions and wisdom by people whom we think they're not significant. But they're significant in God's sight, not in the sight of man. They're not great people. They're not wise people. They're not rich people. They can't talk nicely. But God uses them because their hearts are right with God. The cause, the suggestion, third one, the action. Naaman got to take the action. Well, that's us. We got to take the action. This is where we freeze. Naaman was asked to go to the land of Israel. He went there to fight and kill. It is his enemy's land. That's the action. Action, most of the time, is humiliating. I want you to understand it. When you want to repair something, you want to act on your life, it's humiliating. This man, the commander-in-chief, he went in battle pridefully. He killed, came back, you know, conquering the whole world. But now he had to go there with a plea, looking for somebody, looking for healing, getting help from the enemy's land. Think about it, how humiliating that must be. Actually, there are many humiliating factors he had to face it. Because he had pride in his heart. God was not only dealing with the outside leprosy, but he was also dealing with the inside leprosy he had, which was pride. Number one, he had to go to enemy's land for healing. You remember the prodigal son story, Luke 15 chapter? When the man really repented, and when he knew that he sinned against God and his father, what he said, I will go to my father. I'll go to my father. I know it is embarrassing for me. I know everybody will look down on me. Everybody will call me stupid. Yes, I am. But I'm willing to take the risk. I want to make the restitution. I want to go back. I don't care what people say, but I will go back. He turned around and went back. Humiliated. You want to take an action of yourself or something that you're dealing with? Well, it is humiliating. You got to go through it. There is no other way. I'm sorry, there is no other way. For anybody, it is the same. It is the same. Whether it is the prodigal son, or you may not have sinned like the prodigal son, but dealing with something, still you got to take an action in order to deal with that. Just like Naaman, he got to go to the foreign land, an enemy's land, to deal with his problem. That's the only way. Well, there's one more step further in humility. He was advised to go to where? To a prophet. I know there is a prophet in my land. Not in this passage, somewhere else it is written, in Shimron. So he was asked to go to a prophet, a religious person. He was the only one that could heal him. But he didn't want to see a prophet. Where did he go? He went to the king. What would the king do? The king even did not know Elisha could heal somebody. He knew there was a prophet. You know, the German proverb, it says, close to the church is far from God. Naaman from a foreign land knew that Elisha could heal, but not the king of Israel. He tore his clothes. He didn't go to the prophet. He thought, well, the religious people come to my house in my land. Why should I go to the religious people? Maybe I'll go to a king. The king will call the prophet. He will do it. It's not going to work out that way. The order, the structure is given very clearly. You got to go to the prophet. He's not like another religious person. He is the prophet. He is the priest. To the one that you should come, who can deal with your sin, who could also deal with your leprosy outside, who could also deal with your inside, your invisible thing, pride. He went to the king of the nation. He was feeling humiliated to a higher extent. He didn't go there. Maybe he thought the king would call the prophet to his house while I'm treated royally there. That's why he went there. Humility is a process, by the way. It's a process that God uses often to teach us, to correct us, and to grow us in him. Humility is hard. You know why? Because it got to be learned. Do you know humility got to be learned? Pride, you don't need to learn. That automatically fills in. You don't need to. You don't need to. But humility is to be learned. Every human being needs to learn humility. Do you know Jesus Christ learned humility? He was born 2,000 years back. Mother's womb, through the mother's womb. But he learned humility. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, the famous theory called kenosis theory, the way Christ humiliated himself. He took the form of a man, form of a servant, and then to the cross. He learned humility. It's not easy. It's costly, by the way. It's costly. Christ sets a great example of humility. Let me quote a verse to you from the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence, that is humility and the reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience, humility too, through what he suffered. See that, how Christ learned? That's the action. Made girl, humility. Going to foreign land, humility. Going to prophet, humility. He couldn't go, but that's the only way. Because God was dealing with the leprosy in his heart as he was dealing before he was dealing with the leprosy that everybody could see. They both go side by side. The action. The fourth one, the cure. The girl's suggestion was very clear, to go to the prophet in Shimron. Instead, Naaman went to the king of Israel. As I said, probably he was humiliated to go to a prophet, a religious person. He doesn't want to be humiliated anymore because he was the commander-in-chief. He was a leper, but the religious person still could come to him because of his possession. Neither the king of Israel nor Naaman approached Elisha, the prophet. But it was Elisha who came to know about this because of the big provision of God. The whole act is in the provision of God, in the providence of God. It was Elisha that sent a word to the king, please send Naaman to my house. Neither the king requested nor Naaman requested. But it was Elisha who heard through his servants that there was Naaman at the king's house. He sent word through his servants, bring him here. Sadly, the humility hunts for him. And he goes to Elisha's place. It's interesting. God was dealing more than the leprosy. Leprosy can be healed once, be healed, be cured, done. But the leprosy that he had inside, you and I have inside, it takes a long time for God to work with that. And he was doing it. He goes to Elijah's house. He was probably thinking, well, he will welcome me. He will have all the drums and everything. He will welcome me, but there was nothing. He goes to your poor Elisha's house, nothing. And then he sends word, tell Naaman, the commander-in-chief was here. There was no arrangements, nothing. Sadly, but interestingly, Elisha neither sees him nor talk to him. What a shame it is. Still dealing. He didn't see him. He didn't talk to him. But he sent his messengers to talk to him. Said, that's okay. You go and tell him. He was only seen by his servants, but not Elisha. And the reason for this, apart from expecting obedience from his life, Elisha did not want to come and see the commander-in-chief, Naaman, who was a leper, because it would have defiled the prophet according to the law. He didn't want to see him until he was cured, because a prophet should not defile himself. But there is another point there too. God was working on his heart with the pride issue through all this. And then, one more step down, how God deals with the humility. And then he sends word and said, well, tell him to go and dip himself 7 times in the river of Jordan. Man, it's beyond my expectation. I thought he would come down on me. He would come down, talk to me. He would give me a high honor. He would touch me. Well, you don't dictate God how he has to heal you. Problem. God knows his way. He didn't have to come down. He doesn't have to touch you. He says, be cured. You will be cured. When we go to God, we all have our own expectations. Lord, would you do this for me? We don't say in this way, but would you touch me and heal me? Well, God doesn't have to touch to heal you. God can say a word, let this be, let there be light. And there was light. Lord, this is what it is. And Naaman was so angry. He was angered by what he considered as his stupid advice to go and dip himself 7 times in the river. He was in rage. That's what the Bible said, as we have read. He was in high in anger, and he said, are not Abana and Pharaphra a better rivers, better waters we got it? Why this river Jordan? It looks so silly. I can go there. Well, it's not about the river Jordan. It is not about Abana River. It is not about anything. It is about the instruction that God has given to you. That's most important. It's not about the water. It's not about the river. But what God has commanded you, are you obeying it or not? A true, complete, utter obedience. That's what he was looking. Well, it looks silly. In the eyes of people, even in the eyes of Naaman. But that's what the word was. This was the command. Elisha wanted Naaman to know, you're rejected, Naaman. You're a condemned man. He treated the pride general like a sinner. And Naaman was angry at such treatment. Does he not know who I am? Does he not know who I am? I am the commander-in-chief. I read a story recently. There was a flight got canceled, and there was a man in the first class. He went, there was a line, people standing there. He went in front, told the girl, I had to go in the flight, but it was canceled. I'm first class passenger. Don't you know who I am? And the girl at the counter took the megaphone and said, well, please listen, everybody. We have a person here who does not know who he is. Can somebody come and help him to figure out who he is? And the man got so angry and he used a wrong word. And she said, even for that, you got to come in the line. Does not know. Don't you know who I am? God knows who you are. God knows me who I am. Both inside out. More than I know about myself. He doesn't know who I am. The problem came alive in the fullest form now. It is me. I'm the commander. That's my position. My rank. My upbringing. My talent. My wisdom. My money. My cleverness. Yes. You're a great man. All that doesn't count right now. Because God is dealing with you. And you got to be dealt. You can't go to surgeon and say, do me this way. No. Let the surgeon do what he wants to do. Naaman, I don't want to see you because you're a sinner. Number one. You're hit with leprosy. I don't want to defile myself. You're a condemned man. You're a rejected man. You're non-Israelite. But since you came, here is the instruction. Go and dip yourself in River Jordan 7 times. The cause, the suggestion, the obedience, and the cure. The action and the cure. Lastly, the Naaman in us. I put this way, the Naaman in us, because there is a reason. Let us probe why God was interested in Naaman, the non-Israelite, a non-Israelite leper, the Gentile. Why does he want to heal him? And why does he want to deal with his pride and save him? Why was he interested in his pride? What did God had in mind for Naaman, the idol worshiper? Number one, God wants to save him. He can be saved and follower of a true God. God is at work in his life, both to save, to heal, and to humble himself by breaking his pride. Of course, he got leprosy, a serious disease. But God used a little slave maid to share about his God. Whoever you are, your worth is in God's eyes and not yours. Jesus quoted this man in the Gospel of Luke. Luke writes it beautifully. Luke 4:27. Jesus said, there were many lepers in Israel during the days of Elisha. But none of them were cured, but Naaman the Syrian. See that? There were many lepers in the land of Israel under God's covenanted people. But nobody was sent to Elisha, and nobody was asked to be cured, but only the non-Israelite, a Syrian, was sent to Elisha to be cured. Does that ring a bell to you? Why God saved you? Because you and I are a Naaman. We're not Israelites. We're not covenanted people. We were rejected and doomed for punishment, death, eternal sin, and condemnation unto hell. But God was interested in each and every one of us as he was interested in Naaman, because we are Naamans. He wants to save us. And also not only save him, but also change him from inside out. Change him thoroughly, both inside out. God is at work in him, in Naaman. As he was at work in Naaman, so he is at work in us to bring us to the completion. He's transforming us step by step. Of course, it is humiliating, but we got to go through it. God wants his power to be manifested to the people of Aram, to the entire nation of Syria through Naaman. There is a purpose in which God is at work. Naaman would be a witness, and he was a worshiper of Yahweh in a land full of idols. As you read the story of the later part, after the verses that I have read, he came to Prophet Elijah afterwards, and then he saw him, and he said, I will be a worshiper. Along with the king, I have to go to the temple, but I will not bow down to the temple because I have to protect my king. I will go with him because that's my responsibility, but I will not. I will go and have my own sacrifice to God of Yahweh. God wants his power to be manifested. Then Naaman gives his testimony here when he came to Elisha. From the verses that we read, I want to pick up two verses, verse 11 and verse 15. It's written in verse 11, he had said, behold, I thought he would come and see and touch me. That's what his expectation was. Elisha would come down, see me and touch me. That's verse 11. But after that, verse 15, it's written, behold, now I know there is no God other than Yahweh. What you think is different from what you perceive. That's different. What you think, idealize, you go in your way is different than what you experience. There is a lot of gap. He gave public testimony to the reality of God's power and the fact that Yahweh alone was the true God. So grateful was he that he offered wealth to Elisha, who of course refused to accept the gift. Had he accepted the gift, it would have ruined the lesson of salvation by grace and would have robbed God of all the glory in the case of Elisha. But he did not do it. Well, what a difference it is between Elisha the preacher and some of the preachers of today. Well, I want to conclude the story of Elisha and also Naaman and also us and also Christmas. This is a story of a proud, arrogant man who was utterly, totally humbled. Naaman was a prideful man, a leper both outside and inside. But God was at work in him. And he was interested in him, so he wants to make him a humble man. As Solomon said in Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Naaman went into the land of enemies, Israel, seeking God, God's prophet. And Elisha, the prophet, who did not see him, but only sent a word to do a work of obedience. But 2,000 years back, there was another priest that came down to the earth, Jesus Christ. On the other hand, he also came to the land of the enemies, and we are the enemies. We didn't treat him well. But he began to seek for Naaman's, as he was seeking Naaman in the Old Testament time. Elisha did not see him, but only sent a word to do something. But Jesus Christ, on the other hand, he came to the world. World did not welcome him. He came to his home. They rejected him. They crucified him. His own family disowned him. But Jesus Christ, on the other hand, he came down to the earth seeking for each and every person, for each and every Naaman. And then Elisha did not see him, but Christ sought for each and every one of us. Not after healing, before healing. Before healing. He learned humility. Naaman had to do the work, go and dip yourself in River Jordan. But we didn't have to do the work. Christ did the work for us. He went to the River Jordan. Matthew 3:13. And he was baptized for our sakes. Father put him to work so that we don't have to work. We don't have to get angry. For our sake, he was baptized. He was being obedient to the Father's will to the extent of dying on the cross. Jesus died not only for our sins, but also for leprosy, whatever it is for you and me. Pride, arrogance, stupidity, rebellion, disobedience, unfaithfulness, you name it, whatever it is. Elisha did not see Naaman before leprosy, but Christ the priest, when he came down, when he began the ministry in the first week, according to Mark chapter 1, verse 41, when he saw a leper, he said, "You want to be healed?" And he touched him and healed him. And that is the love of God. And that is the Christmas. When they touched him. Elisha said, "I don't want to see you. I don't want to touch you. I don't want to even see you because I don't want to be defiled." But Christ was defiled for our sake from the day when he entered in, especially from the day he began to do ministry. I want you to be clean. And that is the promise that he speaks to us even now. I want you to be clean. That's my desire. You want to be clean? Yes. I want you to be clean. And he touched him. Nobody should touch, but Christ touched. You know why? Because we are Naamans. He stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "Be clean. If you're willing, and I'm willing, we can be clean right now. And he can touch us if we call him." I don't know what is the leprosy that you're dealing with. You don't know what's the leprosy that I'm dealing with, the inside thing. Of course, all of us physically have needs. It can be healing. It can be financial. It can be something in the family, something and something. People can see it. And when you tell, verbalize it, they can understand it. God sees that too. But there is another thing, like Naaman, a leprosy. Even as Christians, we struggle with. And God says, "I died for that 2,000 years back. This is my desire for you. I want you to be clean." My power that was made available to Naaman years and years back was made available much more powerfully through my son, Jesus Christ, whose blood is still available right now. And he says, "I want you to be clean." Can we celebrate Christmas with clean hearts, clean hands, and clean conscience? God is interested in cleaning both inside, out. Not outside in, both inside, out. Shall we bow down for prayer? Jesus, we thank you once again for this morning. We are like Naamans. We are not covenanted people. But Lord, you have made covenant with us 2,000 years back by sending your own son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross. For what is seen, the sin outsidely, and the sin that is in us, not seen, unseen. And your desire is that you always want to touch us and make us clean so that we always be clean from your eyes. I pray thee that you would be with us even as we, in the season of Christmas and celebrate your birth next week. I pray, Father, that you would work a way for us so that even there is a question, how can this be? Yes, Lord, you can make it possible in our lives. We submit ourselves to you. Be with us and bless us. And I pray for the church, everybody that is here, the leadership, Sean and his family, especially remember Scott Galecki. Touch him and give him good health too, Father. And all the leadership that is here, continue to bless them so that they can play their part. In Jesus' name we pray.